is a horrible person with a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth.
Whoa.
Who could slay with the word of his mouth.
Jesus.
We find him on a horse with the word of God written on his thigh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he rides to the rescue. You know? He rides to the rescue wielding a sword. He rides to our rescue. Mm-hmm. Whatever Amen. Trouble we get ourselves into, mm-hmm. he rides to the rescue. That's cool. I like that. That is a great name. That is a great, great name. All right.
An indestructible horse, too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because the weapons are going to be pointed up when he comes to make war against him. It has to be an indestructible horse that's coming up.
I tell you, no weapon formed against him.
Nothing.
Shall stand. Right? No weapon.
And it says, he going to make the war. He going to do the fight. He going to make the war.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's see if y'all remember your slips that you.
Comfort. I want comfort.
There you go.
That's easy.
So, I just run through a few of them real quick. Hopefully you've got them, but I think we've made it through the first four, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. Power and authority, mm-hmm. comfort, control, mm-hmm. fulfillment, mercy, mm-hmm. knowledge of the creator of the universe, yeah. recognition, admiration, mm-hmm. and eternal wealth.
Power and power.
You know, if you got all those things, but most people would be pretty happy if they had all those things, right?
Oh, yeah.
We do
have them. Exactly.
That's See, right.
Most people would like to have those things, mm-hmm. and they don't realize.
You already got them.
You got them in Christ Jesus. Amen. Isn't
that
right?
Amen. That's right.
You got them in Christ Jesus. So,
in Christ Jesus.
That's good. As you brought that up. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing about the man with a bag of coins, you know. He had the wealth. He just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all about, letting people know mm-hmm. what you can have in Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh, you think the world's got something for you? Well, I got a better deal for you. You see, Jesus has a better deal for you.
Yeah.
Amen. You know?
So I think we covered the first four Beatitudes, and there's like four more. So we're about halfway through, so we'll just go into these. Yeah.
But the world exhausts themselves trying to obtain all these things that you call.
Yeah.
And they have false, they tell you, hey, you can get comfort this way, you buy this place, it'll give you comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get some authority, and you can get some knowledge, you just go to Harvard. I mean, they have it all planned out for you. But when they get to the top, they find out that they need something else.
Come on. Paul had a lot of knowledge, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I count all that lost. Yeah. All I teach is Jesus and him crucified.
Amen.
That's it. Jesus is the Messiah. He was crucified. That's all I teach. Mm-hmm. That's all I need to know.
Mm-hmm. Paul could quote you a book. He could quote books, not just a verse.
Yeah. Paul would get
books. You know, because at the time they're, 6 years old, they have to be able to quote Leviticus. Mm. You know, then by the time they're 12 years old, they got to quote the five books of the Torah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and of course, Paul wrote the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote it from a different aspect than what he had learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He said,
right.
I call all this that I learned at him as dumb, until the spirit didn't meet with it.
Amen.
You know, he had a different view of, because he thought he was doing right killing the saints.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go over the four more of these, and we can talk about them a little bit. I think we did happier those who know nothing, for authority from heaven is theirs. Happier the poor in spirit, we've done the mourn, we've done the meek. And did we do hunger and thirst for righteousness?
No.
We didn't do that. Okay, all right. We'll just hit this one real quick. Happy are those who wants God's will more than even their own.
Mm-hmm.
For their desire will be fulfilled.
Amen.
If you want God's will more than you want your own will, what is righteousness now? Righteousness is the way God wants things to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The way God thinks they ought to be. if you want his will, we're wanting his righteousness, right?
Yeah.
And he will give us his righteousness. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like how you stated that there. You want it with passion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing else would do. You want it with passion. Mm-hmm. That's the way Jesus was. He was passionate.
Very passionate.
Hunger and thirst after.
Yeah.
Very basic need. My very basic need is God's
will. The will of the Father.
God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, help us.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
So your desire will be fulfilled. You will be fulfilled.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your Creator is saying, no, I'm pleased with you. You're pretty fulfilled, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fulfilled.
It is.
Okay, the next one. Happy are those who have mercy, for they will be given mercy. Mm-hmm. Happy are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, I think is the one way to look at it. Here's your one. Happy are those who forgive others, for God will forgive them. Mm. Isn't that what mercy is all about? Forgiveness. Happy are those who forgive others. Well, of course, Jesus said a lot about that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, you need to forgive others so that God will forgive you.
If you don't forgive, you cannot be forgiven.
Yeah. So he says, you know, you did the whole parable about the servant that was forgiven a big debt by his master, and then he turns around and won't forgive his fellow servant a small debt.
Mm-hmm.
He got on them big time, didn't he?
It's not that your sins aren't forgiven. It's when you don't forgive, you separate from God, and that opens the door to the destroyer.
Right.
Because of what you've done in the flesh and in the soul realm. So God, your sins are totally forgiven. Everything's fine in that area. But it opens the door. Your fellowship is not as close. It opens the door to Satan. He destroys you.
Yeah. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she said that 70% of all mental health cases and all physical ailments come from unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
She's a brain doctor.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've heard of her.
Unforgiveness.
So what goes?
A lot of stress goes.
Let's forgive folks.
Yeah.
You know, I was dealing with a person, and you know, he had something against another guy. I was keeping him from doing something he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, why don't you just forgive him? You know, you're never going to get that money back. You know that. So what's the...
Just give it to him.
Why keep passing it over? You know, why keep, you know, just forgive the debt and go on. Be done with it, you know.
With the freedom off of that too, man, he'll experience will be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually saw my daddy was that way. I mean, he never held anything about anybody. He was a guy that he was friends with. He worked the racetrack when he had him on the racetrack, and so he speedway. And he figured out that they didn't own some of that parking. So him and his son bought it. And then they charged a huge amount of money, way more than it was worth. My daddy and my mother passed away, and he was remarried. He invited him to his wedding. I mean, he was not one bit. And when my grandmother passed away, you know, I want this one, I want this one, I want this one. You got the best one, the best here, you can have it. I was raised with somebody like that. So it's so easy.
It's a nice way to be.
It's so easy. To mm-hmm. see God the Father for me, but I can understand people that didn't have a father like
right.
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I was corrected. I was never not, but I wouldn't want to do anything wrong to come against my daddy because he was so kind to me. I remember in sixth grade, I made good grades, but I made 2 F's in sixth grade. He looked at me and he said, Mary, you can do better than that, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, you know, you're stupid. I don't ever remember him calling me. Never in my whole life. He lived to his 91.
You were blessed.
I was extremely blessed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My cousin that lived next door, and she'd known him, you know. Wow. She says, Mary, I would never doubt your daddy's salvation because he walks in all the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She saw it day by day, and I saw it all my life, so I was extremely blessed. So it's easy for me to see a forgiven father. And
yeah.
it's easy for me to forgive because of that, with
yeah.
the Spirit of God in me now. That makes it easy.
Yeah. And you know, that right there is hard to...
That's why it's so important to have good daddies.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, some people don't even have to be a son to the Father because of their Father.
Right.
See, I was brought up as an employee. That's what I was.
Mm-hmm.
And do unto others before they do it.
Right. Yeah.
But thank God for God the Father that shows
Amen.
You.
I hadn't learned how to be a son.
Right.
Because I didn't know what that was.
And because of that, you're a good role model for your grandchildren.
Amen. glad you said that, because remember, all this is for us to be able to mentor others. Mm-hmm. And so we have to mentor forgiveness, like your father mentored forgiveness. She caught it because she saw it from her father. Mm-hmm. So we need to mentor it for others so they can see it and catch it too. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
I like that.
May I ask, there's more to mercy though than just forgiveness, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. There is. What is it? What do you think? What do you think, Sweetie?
Well, I'm looking at the Strong's
Mm-hmm.
And to have mercy on, to help one afflicted or seeking aid, to help the afflicted, compassionate. From the word meaning compassionate.
That's powerful.
In other words, you forgive, but you also have a lot of actions with that gift.
Yeah.
And well, even if it's someone who hasn't done anything to you, you have compassion on someone who has need.
That's exactly right, that there's no forgiveness there. I mean, like you said, you
had
compassion.
That's another take on, you know, when someone suffers a tragedy,
mm-hmm.
you have mercy on them. Right? You know, you go and give them, you know, whatever.
Jesus had compassion.
For example, you know, sometimes people sin, and then the devil dumps on them. And sometimes you go and you just have mercy on that person, you know, and say, hey, look, you know, I want to intercede for you. Good. Thanks for bringing that out. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Peacemakers. No, pure in heart. We're pure in heart, aren't we? Yeah. Pure in heart.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Happy are those who have a mind so full of God that they have no room for doubt or evil thoughts,
mm-hmm.
or even of themselves.
Mm, that's good.
Let's repeat that.
Repeat that, okay. Happy are those who have a mind
mm-hmm.
so full of God,
mm-hmm.
they have no room for doubt or evil thoughts or even of themselves.
That's
beautiful. You know, the heart, if you look at the heart, back in New Testament days, and to them, it was the seed of all thought, you know, the deepest part of a man's thoughts and emotions and everything. We think of just emotions today, but to them it was your thoughts, your deepest thoughts, your deepest mm-hmm. considerations, meditations and everything, that's your heart. And he said, you know, if you're pure in heart, you don't have any room for evil thoughts in there.
That's right.
You know, you don't have any room for that. And there's several verses, you know, there's Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, and it says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you can prove the will of God, know the will of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever things are really good.
mm-hmm.
And then in another place, Paul says, you know, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever mm-hmm. things are just, whatsoever, you know, all that beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think on these things. Put your good stuff in your mind.
yeah.
Good stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Now this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're constantly told, you know, get the knowledge mm-hmm. of Christ in you.
Mm-hmm. Then when you do that, then you can do all things through Christ.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Fill your mind with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Fill your mind, and then, you know.
I've always done, when you talk about the heart in that verse, and this is opening my mind to deeper, make sure it's not the soul part of my heart. I always think of the spirit.
Right.
You're pure in heart, you're born again, you're going to see God.
Yeah.
But, like you said, I thought about it being your mind, too, which is part of your heart, your mind, your soul. But that's good. That the more, because everybody in here knows if you're full of God at the time and prayed and read the Word, people can do ugly things to you, no bother you. Look, and at the same time, everybody's in here kind of not done what they need to do, and kind of, I call it just being Mary. I respond big time. So that's good. That's a big key to that verse, is to stay in the Word, stay with good thoughts. So that's great. I thank you for that. you mentored me.
Well, as we just replace yucky stuff in our minds with really good stuff, godly stuff, we'll be able to perceive God.
Yeah, that's true.
You will see God. Mm-hmm. You know, what did Moses want? When he came right down to
see
it,
his glory.
Lord, I just want to see you. Mm-hmm. Let me see you. Philip sat at the table with him, the Last Supper, and said, Lord, just show us the Father, and we'll be happy with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be sufficient if we can just see God. Mm-hmm. He says, you do this, you see God.
When you look in the mirror and see it, though, because mm-hmm. we were created in His image and His likeness.
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. When you look in the mirror, if your mind has been purified,
this mirror.
Yes, ma'am.
You see, you can look in the mirror. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A pure mind helps you trust God. Wow. It's easy to trust God.
Good. When you, I like that.
You know,
trust God. He said, a pure
Pure heart
mind helps you see God.
Right.
Yeah. Helps you trust Him.
Yeah.
When you say something, it's not foreign, it's rich.
It helps when it comes out of your spirit that's pure.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have no blockage up here.
Praying the Spirit's a big part of keeping you built up. Mm-hmm. When you're built up with the Word, like you said, you can make yourself to your body. You love them. Truly love them, you're not being.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about. You're, mm-hmm. You just actually love them.
Mm-hmm. Y'all gonna think I'm hung up on the mind. Because the next one.
That's what we need.
The next one is.
That's where all the battle lives.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen.
The next one is peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be named sons of God or children of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Happy are the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. I've got a. Good explanation of that.
Did you make copies of those for us?
I did.
You did
give them
together.
Happy are the peacemakers.
Help
them. Happy are they who work for peace between men, for they will be named sons of God. Mm-hmm. Now, a lady who's really studied this a lot was sharing with me, and you know, she goes in deep depth detail about it, and then of course she has to take it and condense it all down into something millennials can get, you know, the younger generation get. And she says, you know, it's all about bringing others into a reconciled relationship with God.
That's good.
Bringing others into a reconcile relationship with God. Reconciling, making peace between them and God.
Well, that's good.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. When you make peace that way, then you can make peace with man.
Yeah.
Peace on earth. You say goodwill toward men. God has goodwill toward men. So all we got to do is get men to turn around and have goodwill toward God.
Mm-hmm.
We're no longer arguing with God and trying to get Him to give us goodwill. He's already given us goodwill in the form of His Son.
Mm-hmm.
He so loved the world. No, you need to tell men, hey, look, you can reconcile. You can be reconciled.
That's good. That's good.
I never even thought of it. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really good. You know, one of the things she says, what is true peace? True peace is like when you're in the midst of a conflict and it doesn't bother you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
True peace is like, when everyone around you is losing their head, you're not concerned because you've already lost yours a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God.
Amen.
Who loved me and gave Himself for me. So when everything goes weird around you, and everybody's panicking, I'm not panicking. Why? Because none of that's going to hurt me. Because I no longer live. Mm-hmm. You see, I no longer live. I am not easily offended because I'm not, you know, you can't offend a corpse, right?
Then nothing can have happened to you unless, just like Jesus told Pilate, you can do nothing to me unless my Father allows you for you to do it.
Yeah.
That would be the same situation with us.
Yeah. So
that's powerful.
We're already dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've already, quote, lost our minds.
Yeah.
So we don't have a mind to lose.
Right.
Everybody's losing their mind. What's the big deal? I've already lost, you know.
Andrew,
it doesn't bother me. when things go wrong.
Amen.
It doesn't surprise me when things go wrong because Satan's at work. But that's okay because greater who is he who is in me than he who's causing all this panic around me.
You know, Andrew Wolbeck just demonstrated that when his son was killed in a car accident. Yeah. He was in the morgue there at the hospital for 5 hours, or it took him that long to get there. And, you know, instantly he started to get the peace. Yeah. But he had to fight with it, too. He had to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
But his son woke up in the morgue, and he was fine. Mm-hmm. I mean,
amen.
No brain activity for hours. And he was a young man, and he said he was wild a little bit. It was his fault. And but he said he had to fight with those. Just because you got the peace don't mean sometimes you don't have to. You can't sit there place complacency sometimes. You've prepared for it. In other words, you've prepared for the peace.
That's good. I like that. Yes.
Because it's there, but you got to get it out here.
Someone will try to come and steal your peace.
That's exactly.
That's what the enemy does.
They can't.
Try to come and steal your peace, and you got to fight to hang on to it. That's right. That's good. Just the same way with your joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let no man take your joy away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so now persecuted. And I've spent probably less time on persecuted than I have on any of the other, because we all know about persecution. that's just pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a whole lot of explaining. But I will go ahead and say this. Happy are those who are recognized by the evil world as godly, and thus are attacked. For authority from heaven is theirs.
Amen.
When the world sees you, all right, as a godly person in your workplace, that happens in other places, when they see you're the godly person, they'll attack you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll attack you. You know, if you work for someone, you know, and you get hired on to do a job, you get in there, you really start doing the job, and everybody else is just kind of slacking off, you know, the slackers. And you start working hard, the slackers will attack you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're making them look bad.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, really? I mean, come on now. But it's not just there, it's in all walks of life.
Yes, I know.
Mm-hmm. If you shine as bright as a light, let your light shine before men. Some of them are going to say, ew, you made me look bad. You make me look dark. I'm going to attack you instead of trying to get myself better. I'll attack you and try to pull you down.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So that's the sort of thing that you kind of have to watch out for. You just keep letting your light shine.
But remember, we don't fight flesh and blood.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Our struggles are not against flesh and blood. All right, that's good. I'm always saying that. That's really good. So if you're persecuted, it says you'll have power, authority from heaven, right? And if you remember, this goes back to the very first one. It says you'll also have the kingdom of God, okay? The very first one, where it says, happy are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is the same thing. So you wonder if it's really keeps there. I'll let y'all study on that one. I won't go into that, but anyway. It says, happy are you when men give you a bad name and are cruel to you and say all evil things against you falsely because of me. Be glad and full of joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For so were the prophets attacked who were before you. Your reward in heaven is eternal wealth.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in heaven, it can't be touched.
Right.
Right? Hey, so it is
good.
Eternal.
That's good, right? If it's in heaven, it can't be touched.
It is kept It is kept safe for you in heaven. And what did he say about it? Moss and rust. You know, moss consume and rust. Corrodes and all that kind of thing. And he said, not a problem in heaven. We don't have that problem in heaven.
Thank God.
God's got a lot of mothballs and a lot of WD-40.
I'm kidding, guys. Here we go.
So this is just a kind of review.
Can I have one hopefully quick question?
Yeah, go ahead.
In verse 10, Now, the persecuted, the Strong's number is the same as the persecuted as in 11. The persecuted, the Strong's, I'm stuck on the Strong's number. It can be, that word can mean to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, to run after. And so in verse 10, it looks like it could be a good thing when you, blessed are you when people run after you for your righteousness. You know, it could be wanting to, because they're interested in what, in your righteousness, is because, you know, could that be, or am I just hopefully wishing, you know, that that's what it means? You know, and that verse, because and then it turns around in verse 11, it sure doesn't sound like that's what, that one, that persecuted is. It's the same Strong's number, but it's obviously in 11, you know, they revile, that persecuted is surrounded by reviling and saying all manner of evil against you and stuff.
Okay, go back to 10.
10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 10, I just want to think it could be a nice thing,
well,
you know.
No.
Well, read the next one.
I know.
Well, verse 10, the righteous person is not doing the persecution. They're enduring the persecution. They're not making the persecution.
Well, I know we think of persecuted as in a bad sense.
Yeah.
But they're persecuted by people coming after them and hearing the gospel, right? Or
yeah,
doing
or
good for them. They see them, so they're coming after them.
Yeah.
When they hear the gospel, so it could be a good thing.
Right.
It could be a good thing if they listen. Because at one while, Paul, he was the greatest
persecutor that I
know of. But one day, who he was trying to captured him.
Mm-hmm.
Captured him, knocked him off his horse and all that. And he said, oh Lord, what would you have me to do? It kind of seemed like I hadn't been doing what you wanted me to do. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do, but he said, now since I've been knocked off my horse, it didn't seem like I'm doing what you want. So.
And don't you think when he saw Stephen, the way he behaved when he was stoning him, and Paul was there,
that made
an impression on him?
It certainly did. To see him persecuted that way.
That was a seed.
And not run, and to stand there and take it, you know, but what he believed in. He was willing to die.
Well, there must be something there if you do that.
Yeah, he was willing to
like
die.
His face shone like an angel, too.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
You know, I don't